case in our calendar is 95-2376, State of Ohio versus Michigan, Ohio.
If we found this workplace not to be a factory or a workplace, would it preclude recovery totally?
It would, Your Honor, as to any alleged violation of specific safety requirements. The decision of the Industrial Commission in this case is very simple. It says nothing in 1-5, the Workshops and Factory Code, applies to this case, because the injury took place outdoors and upstream. Now, in a series of per curiam decisions, it has been suggested by this court that the term workshop in the code workshops and factories must be construed to mean only something which is enclosed within a structure. I would like to submit to the court, with all due respect, that interpretation inappropriately narrows the scope of the code of specific safety requirements contained in Chapter 31.
To sustain your position, would we have to overrule that line of cases?
None of the cases have settled, Your Honor. And there is some question about their precedential and binding effect under the rule for reporting. But to the extent that the law case is considered to be black-letter law, and yes, I would submit that it should be overruled.
Well, could they be distinguished by the fact that in those cases the specific safety requirement went to an activity that could be inside or outside, the boots and shoes? And
well, in the law case, there's a requirement, which is... Sure.
That's usually not indoors, is your argument.
Precisely.
It's always outside.
As is the case with many other provisions in the Workshops and Factory Code. As noted in my brief, there's a section in the Workshops and Factory Code which regulates motor vehicles, mobile mechanized equipment, and marine operations. There is another in the same section that I cited here that regulates the operation of cranes, tower shovels, and backhoes, within 10 feet of energized electrical lines. There is another that relates to trenches and excavations, one which relates to helicopters, one which relates to explosives and blasting. I would suggest, with all respect, that it is inconceivable that the draftsman of these possessions drafted these requirements with the intent and the understanding that they supply only activities conducted indoors.
Is it an is it an oversight, counsel, that it was placed, that these sections were placed in the workshop and factories chapter?
Your Honor, I'm not so sure that I think it's an oversight. What I would suggest is that the statutory framework and the specific language of 4121.1-5 belies the very narrow reading of the term workshop that has arisen over really the last 15 years, beginning with the York Temple Court of Appeals in 1983. If you start with the Constitution, Article 2, Section 35, tells us that an employee who is injured as a result of his employer's failure to comply with a specific requirement for the protection of life, safety, and health adopted by the Industrial Commission is entitled to receive certain additional compensation upon appropriate showing of violation of proximate cause. The Industrial Commission, pursuant to Revised Code Section 4121.13, has a specific duty to ascertain and prescribe safety standards for the protection and the maintenance of the safety of employees in every employment and place of employment.
But that's true, counsel. What we really have to focus on is that the concept that DSSRs have to be specific, don't they? That's the real.
Well, in this instance, Your Honor, there's certainly no ambiguity in the language of 5-23E, which says this applies to clearance tree trimming and electrical utilities. There's no ambiguity and there's no lack of specificity.
So only hang up is the section that it's in.
What I would suggest is to finish my thought. The term place of employment, which has to be understood in terra materia with the obligation of the Commission to prescribe safety standards for all places of employment, is also defined in the revised code. At 4121.01, it's very broadly defined. It's, the definition is set out verbatim in my reply brief. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but it's certainly very broad. Specifically, it says the place of employment includes any place indoors or out or underground in which activities pertaining to a business, trade, or industry are carried out, either temporarily or permanently. Now, if that is the scope of the injunction placed upon the Commission to prescribe safety standards, are we to presume that the Industrial Commission, in promulgating 4121.1-5, intended not to comply with that directive, intended to fashion a code of safety requirement, of which on its face should be construed to be inapplicable to any work activity that's conducted in the outdoors?
What language in what case do you think says that 23E is not an exclusion to 01A?
I mean,
why would you not? Isn't 23E in effect an exception to the overall rule of workshops and factories?
Well, I think in a case where there is a very specific provision which can be seen as overriding a more general, undefined term.
All right, now what case do you think that this court has decided that precludes such a finding? I don't find it in the cases that you cited or they cited. I think they can be distinguished, is what I'm saying to you.
Well, the language of the law case is certainly very broad because it says that 1-5 have argued strongly against the interpretation that workshop and factory requirements can only apply to activities conducted indoors. The other provisions that I've cited involving typical outdoor activities would also strongly suggest that the drafting of those sections, many of which I would note were either enacted or recodified recently in 1986, several years after the York Temple decision started this same stage. They're simply irreconcilable with the notion that that code was understood as being inapplicable to outdoor activity. There is no language of exclusion in the scope provision 4121-5. It doesn't say that there is anything, it does not apply.
Exactly.
Workshop is a room or place where work activity is conducted. If you look at the term a place where work activity is conducted, I would suggest that there is a striking similarity to the definition of the term place of employment in 4121-01, which is, after all, the precise scope. That section defines the scope of those places of employment with respect to which the commission is directed to prescribe safety standards. When they have specifically done so, the rationale of law and the rationale of the industrial commission in this case would suggest that under any circumstances, a person trimming a tree because he is outdoors is not covered by the requirements of the precise language of the safety code, which says these are the rules for trimming trees close to power lines. So that interpretation of the undefined phrase workshop effectively negates the very specific language that applies to the particular situation described in the operative term of the safety standard.
Can I ask you to move to the other issue, the tree trimming activity in the code? What's your, obviously you read your argument, give us your strongest argument on why the city here should have to comply with that provision.
Well, this gentleman was employed by the city division of forestry. It was his regular activity to trim trees. I noted in the by analogy to the construction code, when that was amended in 1979, the scope provision of construction now provides that the requirements are applicable not only to construction companies per se, but to any other employer when their employees are engaged in construction activities. Here, the city of Toledo has employees related among them who are regularly employed for the purpose of trimming trees in proximity to electrical conductors. The law, again, to go back to 4121.13, says that the safety standards for all places of employment are to be as nearly uniform as possible. I would suggest that there is no reason and certainly no statutory provision which requires the result that a person employed by a municipal corporation to perform tree trimming activity is entitled to less protection and fewer remedies with respect to safety violations than a private sector employee engaged in precisely the same activity and subject to precisely the same standards. I see that I've used more of my allotted time than I intended to in this session, and I will, with the court's time permission, reserve what's left.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. Ms. Nestor.
Thank you. was compensated in this case. The only issue before the commission and the court now is whether or not the department is entitled to grant an application for an additional award due to the nature of the penalty to the employer.
We didn't have three cases in which we'd already spoken on a somewhat related issue. Would this be a pretty easy case for us to say that the title of a chapter does not control the substance of the legislation or of the rule?
Contrary to the argument of the monthly, I don't believe this is the case of a title. The title has to do with the subdivision, which is in the very first section of the chapter, which specifically says that it applies to workshops and factories. And see, that's where I don't think we've ever argued that the mere title would be binding. And we were looking at the show provision, which is 4121-5-01A, which specifically says that the provisions of the chapter apply to workshops and factories.
But there seems to be an intention that persons who are trimming trees are to be protected with safety violations.
I think the problem comes in with the general rules for the safety requirements that were noted in the first case, double case, the high ground case, which says that because the FSR award is in the nature of a penalty to the employer,
but anyone reading specific safety requirements regarding helicopters and marine equipment and trimming trees has to conclude that there's an intention that these requirements apply to outdoor work, don't they? I mean, the common sense tells us that, I would think. Do we not apply common sense? You wouldn't want to say that. Is it possible the term workshops and factories is used almost a generic term to mean workplace, that somehow it's gotten it seems like a more defined or discrete term than that today, but I'm wondering if we don't, somebody who drafted this doesn't think of workshops and factories, that's where work is done, and then the code obviously got these other things added to it.
We'll probably never know. The problem comes with the term workshop pattern, the definition. Well, of course, there is another case that we did one case, which is in the firm of arms case. Of course, it was the black water hearing, and had a very specific definition that applies within the Workers' Compensation Act to define a workshop in a room or place where any power to the machinery is employed and eventually is exercised. And that's where a lot of the arguments come up. Specifically, talk about the same room or place should be expanded to exclude structural boundaries, which has been previously held that, of course, be necessary to a workshop. But this court itself, in the law case, rejected that argument, that room or place could mean something other than a structural boundary. And although this court was aware at that time that there were provisions such as for helicopters and for blasting within the scope of this particular chapter, this court, in fact, now held that the definition refers to the place where the relevant power machinery and labor is employed, and not grasped in the term
Those are cases where the work activity was indoors. It could be indoors or outdoors, so you could conclude, well, there's some reason to restrict it to just indoor activity. Here, the activity mentioned in a number of helicopters and marine equipment and tree trimming is, those words have no meaning. They're expressions passed by the coach, and they have no meaning if we apply our old law.
Well, I would not argue that the chapter itself could not have a different condition, but the question here is not whether that chapter needs to be passed. The question is whether the chapter is substituted. Is an employer reasonable limit that they would be liable for violating that particular
Justice engaged you in some conversation with regard to common sense, and you said common sense doesn't always apply to the law necessarily. In State X Rel Lamp versus Corson, we said in part, under State X Rel Harris versus Industrial Commission of Citation, the commission has the discretion to interpret its own rules. However, where the application of those rules to a unique factual situation gives rise to a patently illogical result, common sense should prevail. Isn't that what we have here?
To the extent that the skill provision is directly interpreted by law, by the court, to mean something other than what the other provisions seem to encompass, we still are in a situation where we don't have reasonable notice to an employer who is going through the skill provision.
But rather than using the word revision, we use the words practical application. It's in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? Because for us to say somebody who is specifically injured in this kind of locale is not covered because he's not in a workshop or factory and there's no other place that he would be covered, doesn't it defeat the whole purpose of the workers' compensation system, which was designed to protect the life, liberty, and livelihood of workers?
Number one, it's in their finding that no other provision could possibly occur.
Would you like to suggest one to us?
That was not my client or my position. The law is
if we follow your reasoning, we may as well write out of existence then 4121.1-5-23, 25, 26, because all of these transfers and excavations, helicopters, electrical wires, all of those things don't exist in a workshop. And isn't that an absurd result to be confined by the caption of the factory? It's a lengthy section. Some thought must have gone in and put down requirements that employers have to follow, and then to say, well, they're not in workshops. I mean, how many have trenches and excavations and helicopters and electrical wires in a workshop that...
I'm not for a moment suggesting that it was not the intent of the staff to have those things covered. What I'm saying is that their intent did not come into fruition because the scope provision still limits that code section to workshops and factories.
Why are the sections which Justice Frederick referred to, we all know, why wouldn't we imply, why wouldn't we assume that there's an implication at least that the scope has been broadened when the bureaucrats adopt these other portions of the administrative code? There's certainly at least an implication that they've gone beyond the scope of workshop and the stated defined scope of workshop and our factory and workshop. Can't we at least imply that that was their intention? Otherwise, as has been said here, those other sections have no meaning at all. They don't apply to anyone unless you drive a boat around inside a building or trim a tree. I suppose a tree could be trimmed inside a building, but that's a pretty far stretch.
This court is not protecting that
didn't have before. Let us all the facts in that case were not activities that occurred only outdoors. Isn't that correct?
Although it was not, he was not citing specific provisions that would only consume an outdoor activity. So the court specifically looked at the provisions which were specific outdoor activities, such as helicopters and flats, and that it didn't like those provisions.
Kind of agree that a practical application in some of these things is necessary. A little smile on your face looks like I'm hammering you, and I don't mean to, but I'm thinking about how it could look if we just say, oh no, nobody's protected. It doesn't make any difference what 23 and 24 and 25, as Justice Resby pointed out. How about this? 1.51 of the statute says the specific rules over the general. Why couldn't it be said that 23E is specific and therefore controls over the general 01A?
Well, that's certainly the argument that the Department of State is free. Again,
among others.
Again, it goes contrary to the whole rule for the CSR case, which is that it has to be reasonable and to the employer. And I don't think that putting those into the code
if it's a violation inside and the employer knows that, doesn't the employer also know it's a violation outside?
Not according to the definition of workshop.
You want to be fair and give notice to the employer of the problems that he may come in contact with so he can do something about them before they happen, I would assume. Correct? Now, are you saying that if the employer knows that it's a violation inside and he has made provisions for that, and the same activity then is done outside, you're saying that the employer does not then have notice that it's a violation outside? When was that decided?
It was unanimous.
Last year. I think that
we have to do that.
Cannot be construed to be in non-compliance
that the commission's duty to prescribe safety standards for all employment and places of employment.
So our answer in your view is to re-workshop the main workforce.
I believe it doesn't employer and employer. Is it possible that the draftsman took that term workshop and factories as a generic term, meaning places where work is done? I would submit to all of your honors that the history and the context of all of these codes supports precisely that conclusion. They didn't change the scope provision to include outdoor activities because they never thought, until this line of recurring opinions in the last few years, that outdoor activities were excluded from the safety code.
Thank you, Joe. In the case of submitted, you'll be advised for opinion. The next case is 98. 6th State XL Shelton versus Fireman and